it's out of bounds.
I don't believe it. I see it, but I don't believe it.
Dennis, where are you? I need you right now.
What's your name?
You're quite brilliant.
Yeah, terrific.
Oh, that is... Oh, that's what it is.
The stadium holds its breath.
It's Duff and Quarters.
Brought to you by Tab Touch.
Well, welcome to the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch. Today, captaincy at AFL clubs. Does leadership matter? The reserves comp, will it be in by 2022? And what will be the future of the Waffle? And we look at round one of the JLT Community Series.
Well, hello, listeners. It's time for the podcast where we don't think, we do.
Oh,
where
John Kennedy
great
Senior.
Effort, where we
Ross
play
Lyon.
Our roles.
Oh. Here they come.
It's about family, friends, and flags. Ooh. I'm sitting here in the studio.
Adam Simpson, yes.
With Glenn Quartermain, the sports editor of the Sunday Times. I am Mark Duffield, the senior football writer from the West Australian. And this, folks, is the Duff and Quarters podcast, our second episode for the 2019 season. Hello, Glenn.
Where a watched kettle never boils and too many cooks spoil the broth. I just want to get in on it. Where's our little mantra on the wall?
Where we're taking things one week
be
at
stronger.
A time.
Mine is, when I go running, when I'm trying to get back into my running, mine is be stronger than your strongest excuse. How's that? It's a good one.
Jeez.
You always find an excuse not to do something.
That's usually what I say when I'm reaching for the next Corona.
Well, exactly.
So, Glenn, we are just about to kick off the JLT Community Series. We're not far away from round one.
Yep.
And the clubs are going through their captaincy announcements and getting all their ducks in a row ready to start playing their games. What has jumped out at you this week?
Well, this morning, one very close to my heart, Hawthorn has announced its new leadership group. And fortunately, it's not a group because I'm not too keen on leadership groups spreading it. We've one captain at Hawthorn. That's Jeff Kennett's go. Margaret Riverboy Duff, Ben Stratton has got the nod. And it was an exhaustive process. I reckon they're just about the last to announce it through the club. Through players first, through a committee, through the board, pretty exhaustive. And he got the nod, and Jack Gunston got the nod for the vice captaincy. Now, Jared Roughhead stepped down at the end of last year, didn't want the added weight of the captaincy on his shoulders, which for what will probably be his last season, I would imagine. Mm. And I'm told that he's been, as is Clarkson's way. Mitchell Lewis is ahead of you, Jared, at the moment, at centre-half forward. You earn your spot. So that's part of the reason why he said, okay, let's step down from the captaincy and get on with the footy again. And look, is it a good choice, Ben Stratton? I think so. He's not the best defender, but the most important defender and just about the first player picked every week because just has that ability to shut down guns. And being that medium size, talls and smalls as well. He can play on all sorts. So very, very important player to that Hawthorn side, Ben Stratton, and has grown into a leader. I'm not sure if 3 or 4 years ago he would have been able to fill this role, but he's grown into it. A couple of the names was surprising that were thrown up. One of them was Sicily. Apparently Clarko loves him and threw his name into that. Now, interestingly, so you've got Stratton captain, Gunston vice captain, leadership group underneath contains names like McAvoy, Shields, Smith, but no James Sicily. They've instead announced an emerging leadership group, which may be to appease James Sicily, perhaps. But he's not in it at all. So
James Sicily, great player, not leadership material at this point in time.
No, not even close. A couple of the other clubs, mate.
Well, West Coast, obviously, yep. Closer to home. Shannon Hearn will captain the team again.
No doubt.
Interestingly, one thing we observed in the West Australian, Elliot Yeo, not in the leadership group. Their dual best and fairest winner seems a pretty solid citizen, seems a pretty consistent player.
Oh, yeah.
And now very much a senior midfielder. Any surprise there?
Yeah, there is a bit, to be honest. I'm going to go out on a limb too. I think Elliot Yeo, he's been a great player for a few years now, but I think he'll just climb even a little bit higher this year, injury permitting, and I reckon he'll give the Brownlow a shake this year, that lad. Like everything about him and just ready to take that next step. I know he's all Australian halfback. I think more of a midfield role, and provided he's injury-free, and I reckon he'll give the Brownlow a shake. I am a bit surprised. I thought it would have been a natural elevation.
They don't have a shortage of leaders, do they?
No.
And it may be that Yeo's the sort of person they believe that the extra responsibility may affect his performance.
Well, they know him better than we do, I guess, don't they?
And they want Yeo playing well. I tend to agree with you with his performances. I think Elliot Yeo is... Look, I think West Coast midfield is incredibly underrated. I keep on hearing from mainly the other side of the Nullarbor that it's mediocre. I would love a mediocre midfield that contained Luke Shuey, Andrew Gaff, and Elliot Yeo.
Oh, yeah. And
Jack Redden as the fourth.
Pretty good final series last year.
I'd be pretty happy with that midfield. And I'd be pretty happy with people calling that midfield mediocre as well. Elliot Yeo is of that group. I think he may be even the most underrated because he can play. I'm not just talking about his midfield status. He can play as a aggressive defender. He can play as a lockdown defender. Who does Adam Simpson send to Toby Green, for example, when they play GWS? Who does he send to Dustin Martin and Nathan Fyfe when they threaten to take games off West Coast? He sends Elliot Yeo to them. He can play aggressively in the midfield. He can play defensively in the midfield. He can go forward and be a marking target. He's good off both sides of the body. And as of last year, I think he's done the one thing which he probably hadn't done is he played well in big games. He played a monster qualifying final against Collingwood, 36 disposals, and he was tagged out of the first half of the grand final, but he came into the game very strongly after half time and kicked a big goal in the third quarter.
As they all did. Now his fitness, he's still in the mix for round one, isn't he? I know he had some doubts.
We're expecting Elliot Yeo to play. Obviously, West Coast will name their team later today, I think, for their game against Geelong tomorrow. Expecting Elliot Yeo to play part of that game and maybe a little bit more in the second game against Fremantle. And barring any setbacks with that toe, Elliot Yeo is expected to be good for round one. And the interesting thing is, when Adam Simpson spoke the other day, he said they have very good availability, but they have a lot of guys coming off compressed preparation. So they expect Josh Kennedy to be ready for round one, but can't afford any more setbacks. Jeremy McGovern's just been reintroduced to contact after those ribs, which have lingered for a fair while.
Get a nice old test out, won't they?
May have broken them again in the grand final. So got the fractured ribs the prelim, and my understanding is he may have suffered another rib injury in the grand final. So,
Well, I guess it's a double-edged sword, really. The reason you're there is to play in grand finals, but when you do go deep into September, the deeper you go, the more it affects your pre-season. And they're seeing that play out right now.
And it's going to be an interesting factor for them because I know that, I mean, Ross Lyon isn't right about everything, but one thing Ross Lyon says is premierships aren't won between February and September, they're won between November and February. And so West Coast have had a few dents in the machine in that period of time, so it'll be interesting to see how they scrub up come their round one clash with Brisbane. Now, quarters, Stephen Hocking, the AFL General Manager of Football Operations, in town yesterday. Now, the big question, I think, as far as West Australia and South Australia, for that matter, is concerned is there going to be an AFL reserves competition? And if so, when? And if that happens, what are the consequences and the implications for the WAFL?
First part of that, yes, there will be. I have absolutely no doubt there'll be a national reserves comp. Second part of that, 2022 seems to be the year.
So when there's a change in the broadcast rights agreement, basically.
Yep, that's right. And the third part of it, I think it will have dire consequences, and I think they need to re-look at what the competition will become. I think it needs to become more streamlined. We've had this chat before. I think they need to merge clubs, have a smaller comp. But, yeah, I think it will. If they're smart about it, it doesn't have to signal the death knell of the Waffle or the Sandful. It doesn't have to. But I tell you what, it's going to obviously put a lot of pressure on those competitions.
Are you a person who's in favour of or against a National Reserves competition?
Look, I'm in favour of a National Reserves comp, I've got to say, Duff. I think it has to be managed carefully. I don't want to see these state comps die off. I really don't. But I think they've morphed into something. They're not what they were. They're not what they were. So we need to look at what they are going forward and if we do want them. I think we do want them, but we really need to look at that the next couple of years. I think a National Reserves, it's really sexy. I like to see your kids coming up underneath and playing as curtain raisers or whatever. I like to see that. Always going to the footy and seeing the next crop underneath coming through has always had great appeal to me.
I'm against it, and I just believe it's an inferior development model. And I think that, and the example I'm going to do is your classic example of your second tier success story, and that's Tim Kelly. We could go back 10 years ago and we could name Matt Prittis as well, and we could name other lesser stories like, you know, Zach Langdon or Bailey Banfield or a few that came through out of the second tier.
Sure.
12 months or so ago. I think if Tim Kelly's not running around as the primary inside midfielder at South Fremantle, but is instead filling whatever hole West Coast or Fremantle have for a top-up player to fill on their list, I don't think people get to see the Tim Kelly we saw at South Fremantle, the guy that nearly wins the Sandover medal and the guy that then comes into the AFL as a ready-made, mature-age player and absolutely goes gangbusters. I think Tim Kelly probably just disappears off into the ether somewhere.
So you think the competition would be inferior to that?
I think the competition, reserves competition itself would be okay, but I think in terms as a vehicle for developing players who, for whatever reason, haven't been drafted out of the TAC Cup, haven't been drafted out of the Waffle Colts,
yep,
haven't been drafted from the National 18s competition, I think as a vehicle for developing those players, I believe the Waffle and the Sandful, with different coaches and with those players playing absolutely senior primary roles in those clubs, I think that gets them ready for the AFL in a far better way than an AFL.
So your argument is that the Tim Kelly would just disappear. You wouldn't see him in that reserve.
Well, I think
setup.
You'd see less of them.
Yeah, okay.
I'm sure that players who are determined enough find their way through, but there are all sorts of different personalities, and there are the lines between making it and not making it are very fine here. Now, again, go back to South Fremantle. They're my Waffle Club, so they're the club nearest and dearest to me. You look at a Tim Kelly and you sort of go, he goes to Geelong and he makes it. He finished second in the Sandover medal. Now, two other players at South Fremantle who have had absolutely great two-year periods in their Waffle careers. Hayden Schloyth, who's been on an AFL list and been spat out, and Marlian Pickett, who could scarcely have done more last year.
Yeah.
And so Tim makes it and becomes a success story, and those guys may never make it. It's the lines are very fine here. And I think 15 years ago, I think there was an issue with the second tier competitions because it took them a long time to develop enough good coaches to be able to sending enough strong messages to players.
So counter argument, so you get your reserves team and you've got a bigger list. Would Marlian Pickett get a go on a reserves list and be more likely to progress?
He probably does get a go as a top-up player, but what's the role he plays? So let's say Marlian Pickett gets picked up at Fremantle. Now, Marlian Pickett has two roles at South Fremantle. He plays as a rebounding defender, and last year he moved into the midfield and played basically the role that Tim Kelly had played 12 months earlier. So he became a primary midfielder, really aggressive player, goal kicker, exciting player, attacking player. I don't think he plays those roles as a top-up player in Fremantle's reserves team.
Why not?
Well, because if Taylan Duman's not in the senior team, he's one bloke playing that role. Ethan Hughes is another bloke playing that role. One of Brennan Cox and Griffin Logue's probably going to miss out on a game. They're somewhere back in that back half. All those guys are playing those roles ahead. And then they look around after they've found roles for all those guys and they say, okay, what have we got left for Marlian Pickett?
Yeah, I guess my argument would be he's put into that system and he can prove otherwise. He's in there. He's in that system.
I'm not sure. I think the AFL is a control beast. It craves control. And so it will argue that this is a superior model because this gives it greater control of the Australian rules football environment. But there's a couple of key distinctions to make here, Quarters. And that is that we talk about AFL like AFL's a sport. AFL is not a sport. AFL is a brand.
Of course.
The sport is Australian rules football. And the AFL is a competition within that sport. And I think the AFL wants to get it to a point where everyone talks about AFL like that is the sport.
Well, they already are. I mean, you go to junior footy clinics, it's all AFL, AFL, AFL. So I think we're already at that stage.
Yeah, well, that's dangerous.
I don't think people refer to it as Aussie rules.
That's
anymore.
Dangerous. And I think the other thing that the AFL does, which I think is extremely dangerous, they look at the US model and they try as much as possible to replicate and mirror the US model.
Which is why we'll be getting a Twilight Grand Final.
Yeah, well,
yes, it is. We will be getting one.
Probably, yeah. Eventually.
Yeah.
I'm surprised it's taken as long as it's taken, but eventually we'll get there. And we are different. Australian rules football is a very different sport to anything else in the world. And B, Australian people are very different to American people. I think that we shouldn't just assume that what works there is going to work here, or that if they describe themselves as a business, that it's a better business model. I'm not sure that AFL clubs want or need the responsibility of another 15, 16 players on their list when they can have a second-tier competition basically taking care of those players for them and getting them ready for their competition.
Well, it's going to be a really interesting couple of years as that plays out, but I don't think there's any doubt they want it, so they'll get their way. And I think it's really important that we look at what model going forward for the Waffle, as they will do in South Australia.
Well, you know, this was going to happen when GWS and Gold Coast came in. So before they had established the NEAFL, this was going to happen. And they got very, very close to the line, and South Australia put their feet down and said, no way, you're not doing it. And they stopped it.
Yeah.
And they stopped it dead in their tracks. So I don't know what South Australia did then, but I think West Australia should be talking to South Australia and saying, well, what did you do then? Because we're going to have to try and do that again in 2022 and try and pull this up and stop it in its tracks.
Now, before we move on to the JLT Community Series, I've got a shout out here for one of our listeners, Duff. Had an email from Michael Bettridge, who said to us, great to have you guys back. Great company for my fortnightly drive from Alice Springs to Tennant Creek, Duff. So, g'day, Michael. How are you? Keep listening. Enjoy that drive. Be careful. Be safe.
That's not your average drive.
No, it's a bit of a drive. Might just have a quiet, surely has a little bit of a quiet coldy somewhere along the way.
I would think when he beds down.
Obviously,
when he,
yes.
Let's not advocate drinking and driving.
I didn't say that.
Given he may be in control of a heavy haulage vehicle of some variety, Glenn.
Half a can of light. Jeez, give him a break. Give him a break.
No, hello, and glad you can join us, and hopefully you continue to join us throughout the season. We'll have a lot of interesting topics to talk about, a lot of things to discuss. The other thing, Quarters, we should mention, before March 12, make sure you log on to thewest.com.au and register for the tipping competition and the Pick 7 competition.
The game, that's right, to play the game, tipping and Pick 7, and a great prize. If you enter before March 12, you can win two tickets to every Optus home game with drinks and full service. So
it's actually, and the website, sorry, thegame.com.au.
Yeah, thegame.com.au. Get in before March 12. You can get that beautiful hospitality package every home game. What a great prize that would be, Duff. As I said last week, you and I should enter that. Go along and have a couple of quieties.
We would be very good hospitality clients, I think,
would.
You and I.
We would.
We would, definitely.
On to the JLT, mate. Quite a few games this weekend. We'll go through them briefly. But obviously, West Coast. Just firstly, Carlton and Essendon this afternoon at Icon Park. Carlton, I think, will take a couple of steps up this year. They won't challenge, but they'll take a couple of steps forward. They have to with that list. And Essendon, I expect a challenge this year. What do you expect from them?
I don't know how much we'll see of their prospects in pre-season. I've been a bit torched.
We'll see a lot of Sam Walsh.
I've been a bit torched by West Coast last year in terms of what to read into the pre-season.
But we don't read anything into it. I don't think the results matter at all. As long as you're not beaten by 180 points or so, I think it's the more the development of players and how they're going to respond to these new rules.
Okay, so what I'm excited about is watching the new rules and whether they have an impact. And I think that will be only a slight hint because they won't have all their mechanisms in place. Really excited to see Sam Walsh play.
Yep.
We're hearing he's training the house down and absolutely burnt in an intra-club last week, so excited to see that, and excited to see Joe Danaher back. He's in Essendon squad this afternoon, I believe, and obviously had last year completely ruined by groin problems, and one of the most exciting young players in the competition.
Wonder if we'll see anything in the pre-season of Irving Mosquito.
Oh, I can't wait.
The little Essendon player from Halls Creek. I think he's from Halls Creek. But excitement machine.
So given the
Hawthorn had him in their academy, and he apparently, when Essendon got him on draft day, there was a bit of fist pumping done and a bit of desk thumping because they really rate him highly. I think he's still 12 months off being a regular, but really exciting prospect. Can't wait to see him out there. Pity he's not in the brown and gold, but good luck, Essendon.
There's a bit of buzz about
There's a bit of buzz about Irving Mosquito. Great headline name. Thanks, Essendon. Great headline name. We like these names.
All right, let's move on to tomorrow at Leaderville Oval. Of course, West Coast versus Geelong.
4:10 p.m., mate. And a few missing from the West Coast lineup. But what are we...
So Adam Simpson flagged that they'll put a reasonably strong team out, but they'll end up with a lot of kids on the ground because there'll be a lot of blokes playing managed minutes. And we mentioned Yeo earlier on. We'd expect McGovern to be another one of them and a couple of others, maybe Luke Shuey as well. So a few senior players that are basically might play two quarters this week, three quarters against Fremantle the following week, and then do some hard match simulation and be ready for round one. The young players, I'm fascinated to see what they do and how they're used, are the three young forwards. So Jake Waterman, Jared Brander and Oscar Allen. They've all been in the mix through the preseason. Oscar Allen's actually done a bit of ruck work. So they're looking at adding that string to his bow to add greater flexibility and versatility to him as well. And the other kid, who's smaller, looks like the most likely replacement for Mark Lacroix at this stage is Jack Petricelli,
yep,
who lit it up in the second half of the inter-club practice match last Friday. Very exciting.
We might see a bit of Josh Smith too, Collingwood recruit.
I would think Josh Smith is likely to play, yes. And the key for Josh Smith is going to be, I get the feeling that Josh Smith and Chris Marston will probably be battling for a berth. The big running sort of midfielders that don't have great penetration but have great character, great work ethic, and I think one of those will be playing on a wing.
4:10 p.m. it starts at Leaderville Oval tomorrow, so get along, have a look. Jordan Clark, we might see a bit of him coming off half-back or perhaps little stints. Is he up? Is he going to play? Is he...
Jordan Clark?
Yes.
I expect he's a good chance to play for Geelong. Obviously, Claremont boy. Had a great season at 18s level last
year. Talk about buzz about Irving Mosquito. There's a lot of buzz about this kid.
Yeah, no, he's a rock-solid citizen, rock-solid footballer, very fundamentally sound. I think he'll be a very good player. And
a couple of ins for them too. Gary Rowan in new colours, Dalhouse in new colours, yep, and Ratoglia. I think I've got that right. Have I got that right, Duff?
I'll go with you, Glenn.
But he was a bit of an excitement machine, had that horrific leg injury midway through last year.
Ratoglia.
And he's back in town and fully fit. So, look, Geelong, I don't trust.
I didn't even know who you were talking about when you said that name.
I don't trust Geelong this year in terms of backing them to make the four.
Do you have Geelong in your eight?
Nope.
No, me neither.
No, I don't. But there's still some talent on that squad and some players like Ratoglia coming through who we haven't seen the best of yet and May this year. So,
do you have your boys in your eight?
I have them at the very bottom end. And to be honest, it's really... an Alistair Clarkson decision. I have them very susceptible to not making the eight.
Yep.
And to be honest, not one player doesn't make a squad, but I think Tom Mitchell's a massive out for us.
Absolutely.
And I have my doubts, but I just have so much faith in Alistair Clarkson as a coach. He got him into the four last year and they were in a top 14.
I'm still deciding whether they're in or out. At this stage, I'm leaning towards out. Okay, let's move on.
Saturday, North Melbourne v St Kilda playing in Werribee near the sewerage farm there. Sorry, that's a bit unfair on Werribee people. I lived in Geelong for 8 years. It was always the joke as
Could
you drove down
Could you smell it
there.
When you drove down the highway?
No, you can't. Werribee's a great place.
Well, did you have the windows up, did you?
Yeah, I did. In my Datsun 180B Safari Yellow. Datsun 180B, yeah, you did tend to wind the windows up as you went past. I think it was more like Hopper's Crossing. There was a certain part, just out of Werribee, and it was like windows up, windows down again.
Did you ever notice that you used to get very drowsy on that drive?
Oh, it's
only about an hour's drive.
Well, it was about an hour and 10 in the 180B.
But they'd have They used to have a coffee stop halfway down to stop people from falling asleep. And I wondered whether the aroma from Werribee had something to do with the drowsy state of the driver.
Yeah, it's just one of those drives that there's not much on that road, really, once you get through Altona and there's not much on that road at all. I broke down halfway in the middle of the night once, had to walk about 50K, which wasn't very pretty. North Melbourne...
Is that where your marathon career started?
A few of the youngsters we're looking to see at North Melbourne. Bailey Scott, who you'll remember Robert Scott.
Robert Scott from
Geelong and
North Melbourne.
Taryn Thomas is the kid from Tassie who...
So there was a big buzz about Taryn Thomas.
And then it fell away and now it's back again.
Yep.
There was some off-field scuttlebutt about him, yep, and but never any doubt about his ability. So he's another one. And Curtis Taylor's another one. They're missing a few at the moment. Look, Luke Davies Uniacke's had a great preseason, apparently, as he should.
LDU,
who's still eligible for the Rising Star. So I put him and Sam Walsh probably in as my two early favourites for that award. So
okay.
North Melbourne, anything else about North? You particularly, where do you see them this year?
I have no idea. So I've got about five at the top, and I've got about three or four at the bottom. And I reckon everyone else is anywhere in between. And there are some more likely than others, and there are some that need more luck than others. But North Melbourne is a team that I see anywhere from 14 to 6.
I'd agree with that with North. I can tell you I don't have a lot of faith in St Kilda, though. A couple of ins for St Kilda.
Jake Carlisle back injury, which is a massive concern.
He is.
And Jack Stephen, mental health issues.
He's having a little break. Yeah, that's right. So good luck. I hope he recovers from that, obviously. The good news there is Dylan Robinson looks to have recovered from that heart complaint and some surgery and looks back on his feet and ready to play AFL again.
Yep.
There were some doubts about that.
Yep.
So I'm glad to see him out there and good luck to him. Some ins there that we'll be interested to see. Well, Max King, we won't see him till mid-year. He's coming off a knee.
Yep.
Dan Hannanbury from Sydney, who's had some hamstring issues again, but he's an in. And Dean Kent from Melbourne. Really interesting with the Dan Hannanbury stuff being named in the leadership group. Now, there was some comments last week that there would be a few Sydney people sort of scoffing at him being elevated into St Kilda's leadership group. Wasn't he their vice captain at Sydney? And I mean, he's a very decorated player. I'm not sure if he's obviously further towards the end of his career, but
and has the reputation of being a bit of a party boy.
He has
as well. So, but having said that, probably if you looked hard enough, you'd find a party boy on every club's leadership group.
More than one, I'd suggest, Duff.
Yeah,
more than one. The showdown: Adelaide v Port Adelaide in Port Pirie. Port Pirie is a great place.
So Port went against your and my philosophy. They appointed two captains.
Well, not only your and my philosophy, their philosophy.
Their philosophy.
They've been number one Guernsey, the number one jumper at Port forever has been the captain. And they've always had one captain. And there is a lot of division in that club about that decision. So Ollie Wines.
Tommy Jonas.
And Ollie Wines.
Who I think is a heart and soul player.
Yep.
And I think is a good choice as captain.
Yep.
Well-known water skier Ollie Wines.
Apparently he's being paid extra by Melbourne City Council to open Moomba Festival next year. Going over the jump and
do a couple of somersaults while he's there.
Yeah, that's right. So look, in that game in particular, look, that's a decision they've made. Obviously they've done some consultancy work with that and they've made that decision. And, you know, I think they'll get over it pretty quickly if they have success. But Port Adelaide, I guess for us over here, the really interesting one, we see Scotty Lysett in action for Port.
Yes.
West Coast Premiership player. And also Ryan Burton, who joined Port from Hawthorn in that Chad Wingard swap.
He's a big plus.
Oh, yeah.
I think Ryan Burton's a very good player.
21, 22, beautifully skilled and balanced player. Mm. You know, he's a big loss. Sorry to see him go from Hawthorn. I didn't disagree with the deal, by the way, but he'll be a great addition to them. And he's a Port kid growing up.
Yeah.
And now that he's got over the shock of it all. Adelaide, really interesting. I've got them in my eight. I've got them sort of in my top five or six. I just think last year was a bit of an aberration. Not much went wrong for Adelaide. They did make the grand final the year before. I'm going to give the list a bit of respect.
Okay. I'm still not sure. I've got Adelaide, Hawthorn, Geelong and Sydney as a group. In a group of clubs, you think, you know what, you should respect them enough for them to get into the eight, but I've still got doubts about all of them.
Brad Crouch is a big in for Adelaide, missed all of last year.
But he's had a couple of little setbacks over summer again, and Brad Crouch's injury history suggests that he's no sure thing to be out there for the entire season. So, I'm a bit worried about Adelaide still. And Port Adelaide, I think Lysett's a good get for them, and I think Ryan Burton will be a very good player, but it comes at the loss of Wingard, who is, of course, one of the most electrifying players.
We probably won't see any of Wingard for Hawthorn either in the JLT community. So he's just recovering still. So
that's a calf muscle?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you play round one either. I reckon he's more like a round two or three if he gets up that quickly.
GWS v Sydney. Now, the mummy got off with a fine.
Yeah.
Quarters. What do you think about that?
I thought he was lucky. I have my doubts about... Look, I always like mummy as a player. And I hope it's a success, but I have my doubts. When you retire and have a year out of footy, That's where I have my doubts. It's not like you're injured and you're still in the program, still in the system, still invested. When you have that year out, it's really hard to come back from. And I hope it augurs well for them, but I hope it goes well for them. But I'm not sure. I mean, that'll be... So he's got off his 2 weeks. He's obviously got a 2 week suspension for the off-field misdemeanors from a few years ago. He misses the first two.
Yes, I think, he does.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
So he'll be in action in round three now that he's got off that with a fine.
Yeah, I don't mind the decision to let him off with a fine. I thought it was more push than punch. It's just that when mummy pushes you, you know you've been pushed.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, when you first saw it, you thought, oh, it's a bit rough. But when you had a look back over and over again, I think it was definitely more push than punch, which is pretty strong push, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sydney, you know, I guess with Sydney, I think it's the kids coming through. When I say kids, you're talking about your Heaneys and your Mills and who aren't kids, but they're ready to really pop, as they say. And I think they're just sensational talents. I have a lot of faith in Sydney because of that group. I'm just not sure Daniel Menzel's a big off-season signing from Geelong. Glad he's got another opportunity. A lot hinges on those sorts of appointments.
Yeah, I agree. I think Heaney and Mills and... But they really need to be absolutely top of the wazza elite players, don't they? And I think Heaney's ready to be that. But let's not forget, Mills, I think this will be his third season, and he basically missed a big chunk of last season. So expecting Mills to play like a fourth or fifth year player coming off that sort of build, I reckon that's a big ask, particularly if opposition teams target him and say, this kid could do a lot of damage or not much if we really bear down hard on him. Let's bear down hard
on
him.
Every now and then I reckon you get a really special talent, though, and he, to me, strikes me as one of those.
He's a good player.
One out of the box, I reckon.
But it's asking a lot.
Yeah, that's fair. I agree with that. Sunday,
Brisbane
v Hawthorn at Moreton Bay. Well, not in Moreton Bay, but beside...
So do you give a fig?
Yeah. very good. Brisbane, so we'll see, I guess we'll see Lachie Neal suiting up for the first time for Brisbane.
Yes, so Lachie Neal apparently dominated around stoppages in a hit out against Gold Coast. Had one moment where he got torched a bit by the kid Rankine, who we'll talk a bit about, I'm sure, in the next game. But Brisbane quarters, I think they're going to be a big improver, but I don't see them making the eight.
I've got them just... Knock, 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 knock on the door. That's where I've got them. I think I've got them ninth. I'm still really working out the semantics of my whole ladder, but I think they're really close to the eight.
And had they retained Dane Beams, I reckon I would probably almost tip them in. But given that they lost, I reckon the Beams loss to Collingwood, I reckon it takes a bit of the wind out of their sails from getting Lachie Neal and the very encouraging season last year.
So Marcus Adams has arrived there, so his sort of presence in defence might let Harris Andrews go forward.
But he's injured.
Yeah.
Harris Andrews has shown great ability going forward. And actually, I didn't realise this, but he played his juniors as a forward, Harris Andrews.
But I think they're hoping that, that's right. They're hoping Harris Andrews can go forward as a result. He's a terrific talent.
And that will take some pressure off Hipwood, who obviously really exciting player. Plays a lot like a skinny version of Lance Franklin, but he's not the sort of player yet you want to build an entire forward line around.
And we've spoken about the Hawks. So then Richmond plays Melbourne in Shepparton, good old Shep. Richmond, we won't see the number one recruit, Tommy Lynch, just yet. He's going to be...
And not necessarily round one, either.
No, I probably... And you look at the body language of those press conferences and those discussions. To me, he's not playing round one.
Yeah.
You've got to give hope, I suppose. But it'll be really interesting to see how their forward setup goes. Richmond, I have... I have them winning the flag this year. If you've got to call it this early, we have to make these early calls, Duff. And I just think they were the best team in it last year. I still think they got 12 months in that squad to be the best team at it again.
Well, they're certainly in my four. I'm withholding my premiership tip at the moment.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm having a go.
Given I had the Premier's 12th last year at the end of the pre-season.
I think most people got that wrong. And Melbourne, again, I think most people expect them to be... See, they could easily win the flag, play off in the grand final, or not make the six. You know, this is...
I think this Melbourne makes the six. I think I've got Melbourne in my four.
Yep.
And I think there is just... There gets a point at which you reach it and you have such a critical mass of talent there's just no excuse for you not getting there. And I think Melbourne's at that point. There is no excuse. With May added
and Koladashny, and you've got Braden Price is a big in too. May let Max Gawn play a bit more permanently as a forward, you know, which would be a real handful for opposition sides, particularly with the new rules.
Yeah, I just think I see Melbourne in my top four.
Is there my only question? I always wonder if there's a soft underbelly to Melbourne. That's all, which comes back to bite you right at the pointy end in September.
Like preliminary final day at Optus Stadium.
Exactly, which is obviously a very hostile place to play. But I just, that's my question. I've just got a little asterisk there.
But isn't there a point in a club's history where they have to say, we have to get rid of this? And and the players draw a line in the sand.
Yeah, but
and that's not about a club culture. That's about a group of players with the right sort of character saying, we don't care what's happened for the last 25 years. This is what is going to happen today.
But there's one thing about drawing a line in the sand and another thing acting on it when it actually counts. And that's, hopefully they do, but I'm just saying it's one thing to talk about it, it's another thing to do.
You just want to make more jokes about ski fields in the Melbourne club, that's all you want.
I do. I don't know what I'm going to talk about if they get there.
Okay, so Gold Coast versus Doggies.
And I'll tell you what about this game. I heard an interview with Matt Suckling earlier in the week, and he was sort of saying, like, what are we worried about? It's not that we don't respect Gold Coast. We're worried about the weather because there's cyclonic conditions brewing up there in Mackay. So it's going to be a very wet affair up there. I think it'll be the Great Barrier Reef on the oval.
On the mainland.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a shame for Gold Coast, isn't it? Because it's a big year.
Yep.
If you can sneak a couple of wins early, then you sort of set up your year a little bit, and hopefully, because we all think it's going to be a really tough year
and
for them.
Congratulations to David Swallow too on the captaincy, and has shown some, you know, he's been there, a commitment to that club as it develops. And, you know, we all want to see, we all have our doubts about Gold Coast being, it's very hard on the Gold Coast. It's such an itinerant population. They've never really bought into a sporting club there, and they're really behind the eight ball anyway, and to have just your whole list raided as it has been, it's very tough for them. So we hope there's some improvement. I think, you know, it'd be pretty hard for them not to finish on the bottom, if not very close to it.
Yeah, I think the ones at most risk at the moment of finishing in that bottom three are Gold Coast and Kilda and Carlton.
And the Doggies, you know,
I don't know where the hell to put the Doggies.
Yeah, look, I see some upside for them. I mean, he's obviously rebooted that club. And Shacky, they reckon, had a good pre-season. He's put on a bit of beef. So we'll see him playing. He may play a significant role as a forward in this new system. So, look, I have him a bit in the Brisbane scenario. I reckon they'll be close to the eight, the Western Bulldogs. I have a bit of faith in them.
Okay. And two players to watch out for, Gold Coast. Ben King.
Yes.
The other King.
Brother of.
Been very impressive as a key defender. Actually, three players. Isaac Rankine.
Yeah.
Who absolutely torched Lachie Neal. There's a goal. You can have a look at it on the internet, fellas and ladies.
Lacosius?
Not sure how Lacosius has been going, but I know Rankine and Benking have been very impressive. And the other one, a mate of mine, Andrew Hamilton, who works up there, said was really impressive was Will Powell, the Claremont boy. So pencil thin, but very highly skilled. And
has he would have put a bit on in the last 12 months, I'd have to have.
Well, they try to put about 5 kilos a year on them, so you'd expect Will Powell to be a 5 kilo heavier version of what he was.
And Rankine was the kid who obviously was highly thought of, but then he had the state championships, the 18s, and he just exploded, didn't he?
Yep.
Exploded onto the scene, and it was really very eye-catching.
In one quarter against Vic Metro, I think you just knew after that quarter he was never going to be anywhere but top two or three in the draft.
Frio Collingwood on Monday up at Arena Joondalup. Collingwood, it was good to see Jamie Elliott, he got through his first game unscathed since, I think it was since 2017. He's just had nothing but trouble, that you know, and we like to see him. He's a good player. So we'll see a bit of him. Frio, we'll see a bit more of the new look forward line.
So, yeah, we expect to see Lobb, Hogan, and probably Tabiner. They are the three that will get first look at it. Be interesting to see whether they have someone like a McCarthy in their squad, someone like a Cox in their squad. Griffin Logue down back was very impressive in the intra-club last week. I expect him to play. I think Brett Bewley will get a run.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do a hell of a lot last week, but did a couple of really nice things, a couple of really decisive inside 50s. And I expect Travis Collier to play. Be interesting to see whether, they believe Nathan Fyfe is sufficiently over his surgery to play in that first one, expecting to play one of the JLT Community Series.
What would be the point of Fyfe playing in that first game?
Yeah, I think they like to play.
Mm.
I mean, admittedly, he's had AFLX.
Wouldn't you just give him the extra sort of game off and then start him up?
Well, I think it's just
a
draining of a bursar.
I understand that.
I don't think it's anything.
Yeah, but those sorts of injuries, you can sort of niggle. They can be niggly. So yeah. You give him the extra time. I mean, he's, you know, A grader.
Yeah.
A++ grader. Yep. So, you know, you want him 100%.
I'm quite fascinated to see what Freo put out there, and B, probably more importantly than what they produce on the scoreboard, what style of play they pursue. Because we keep hearing they're going to be more aggressive, they're going to be more offensive. They've been bottom three in scores four in the competition for the last three seasons. So it's going to be quite interesting to see how that translates when you have all of them. You know, an intra-club doesn't really give you a whole lot of insight into that, and I think be interesting to see how they go.
Well, the early talk is with the new rules, it's going to be a more attacking game.
Yep.
So there'll be more scores kicked, which is great. See a few one-on-ones. Boys, get out there and have a few one-on-ones.
But will someone like Ross think, I can defend against
that?
Well,
they will. Of course they will. But it'll take a while. Yeah. And they'll be working on it, obviously, already. But it will take a while. And you're right. And you've said this before. There's a counteraction here.
Yeah.
There's always a reaction. So it'll come. But I just think early days is going to be one of the most fascinating starts to a season for a long time.
Yep.
Just to see how these new rules play out. You know, the 6-6 and 6 in itself, the new ruck rules will be fascinating. The playing on after 50 metres, that's going to be really interesting. You'll get, you know, try and get the ball into the hands of a quick player, particularly if there's a slow dart on the mark. That's going to be really interesting.
Okay, so in closing quarters, Collingwood, top four for me.
Yep, same.
And Freo, I've got them in the big huddle of clubs between 6 and 14, but I think they're more likely to be closer to 14.
Yeah, I think so. I got them around about that. Maybe slightly higher than 14, actually. But
12, 11, 12.
I think they may not progress in terms of games won, but I think they'll progress as a group.
Yep.
That's what I'm expecting from Freo this year. I don't think they have to progress in games won. But they do have to progress as a group.
I want to see them win 10, and I want to see a reduction in the floggings. That's what I
want to say. Well, that's the key to it, is the reduction in the floggings more than I think that's more important than the number of wins. Yep. We saw a bit of that last year.
Yeah.
A little bit of that. So, well, we'll see what happens when we wrap it up on Tuesday next week.
Thank you very much for joining us today. We've been brought to you by Tab Touch, as always.
Great sponsors. Thank you, Tab Touch.
We look forward to their continued support through 2019. Well done, Quarters. We look forward to hearing from you on Tuesday, because obviously by that time your team will have played. So by all means, write into us, tweet to us.
Yes.
Contact us via social media and let us know what you thought, what your expectations are as a result of that. And we'll read a few of those out on Tuesday and interact with you guys in our audience. Thanks for joining us, and we'll be back with you next week.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast, brought to you by Tab Touch.